for Christmas. We typically think as Christmas is for the children, and we love to watch the children sing. And as we grow older, the gifts that we get don't mean as much as they did when we were little kids. We wait with anticipation, either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, when we could rush in and grab the trees, the gifts under the trees, and open our gifts. But as we grow older, we find that, well, Christmas, that's for the little ones. But there is a God in heaven.
Amen.
And 2 weeks ago, I preached a Thanksgiving message on that very thing. There is a God in heaven. And you say, well, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, I think we need to remember, and you'll hear this a lot, what Christmas is all about. And we focused a couple of weeks ago on the prayer that Daniel had with his companions. His thanksgiving in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23. And I hit upon something in that chapter, but briefly, that I want to point out to you again today in Daniel chapter 2. Same chapter, different verse. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was the Babylonian king, and he had asked a question that was absolutely impossible to answer. In fact, that's what his wise men told him. They said, what you're asking is a rare thing. It's a very difficult thing. You want us to interpret your dream? Fine, sir. Tell us what your dream was, and we will give you the interpretation. And in effect, Nebuchadnezzar said, no. You both tell me what the dream was and then give me the interpretation. Really, because he's saying, if you can tell me what the dream was, then I'll know that the interpretation you're giving me is probably correct. In fact, I'll know it's correct if you can tell me what the dream was. That's impossible, said the astrologers, the soothsayers, the magicians, the Chaldeans. The whole kingdom's wise men, none could come to the king and say, here's what your dream was, king, and here's the interpretation. They were baffled. And then you read this interesting thing in verse 10 of chapter 2. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. It is impossible. You're still asking, so what does this have to do with Christmas? Read on in verse 11 with me. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods. Notice it's plural, and notice the G is in lowercase. You know, there's a lot of people who believe in gods. Even around us today, there are people who believe in the God of government. There are people who believe in the God of this and that, the God of wealth, the God, so many gods. We look back and we look at that word gods and we say, how foolish are these people? We all in America believe in one God. No, we don't. And there are some here this morning who perhaps do not believe in the one true God. For if you did, you would have to ask yourself this question. Then what is Christmas all about? Many people believe in many gods, and they worship the many gods. They worship that God when they go to the mountains, and they worship God under the big blue dome. It's the big blue dome and the mountains that is their God. It is the people who worship their wealth. It is the people who worship another person, celebrities, and so forth. So what does this passage have to do with Christmas? I haven't yet finished. Verse 11. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods. Now notice what it says. Whose dwelling is not with flesh. Are you getting what I'm driving at yet this morning? Gods do not dwell with flesh. Gods are way out there somewhere. And they do not dwell with flesh, O King Nebuchadnezzar. We are the wise men of the world, and we know that. And the wise men, air quotes today, will tell you the very same thing. Gods do not dwell with human flesh. With their saying in mind, do you see the magnitude of Christmas? Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, with Daniel 2:11 in mind, folks, look at this verse. Verse 7, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I thought the gods don't dwell with flesh. There is a God in heaven who came down in human flesh. His name is Jesus Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here's the good news, folks. Here's the gospel. God came to this earth in human flesh against all the wisdom of this world who said gods don't dwell with human flesh. God, in his infinite wisdom, came down to this earth. He came down, so to speak, to our level physically, human flesh. At Christmas, we commemorate God in the flesh. You see, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So God came in the flesh. You jump down to verse 14 of John 1, and it says, and the Word became, out loud please, it became flesh. Jesus Christ, God himself, became human flesh. Unbelievable. Incredible. And that's what these men would say. No such thing as a God coming down in human flesh. Perhaps the wise men that we read about today in Matthew chapter 2 before the ladies sang there at the end. Perhaps those wise men who came from the east were descendants of these wise men in Daniel chapter 2, who witnessed the testimony of Daniel. Jesus not only dwelt with human flesh, with mortal flesh, but even after he had bodily ascended up into heaven, Acts chapter 1, he continues to dwell in mortal flesh. And you're still thinking about him up there in heaven. He is still in his resurrected body. But it goes further than that. He still dwells in mortal flesh. You see, before Jesus ascended, he said this to his disciples, and it applies to you and I as well. Here's what he said. I will pray the Father, And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. The world doesn't see him, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, listen, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You say the gods don't dwell with human flesh? Well, that's true when you're speaking of the gods in the plural who don't even exist. But I'll tell you something, there is a God in heaven who dwells not only in Jesus Christ. He is God, Jesus Christ, but now the promise that Jesus Christ himself gave, Jesus, God who cannot lie, said, I will come and I will dwell with you. I will be in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's incredible. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Does not God dwell not only with human flesh, but in human flesh? Listen, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you have the promise from the Word of God that he dwells in you. He is in you. Your body is his temple. And so at Christmas time, we need to emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ, who is God, came in human flesh, and now, having humbled himself and taken God's penalty of wrath upon himself, for those who have accepted him, those who have received him, he dwells in me. He dwells in you. Hereby, we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, 1 John 4:13. Earlier it said this in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen to Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. Now listen. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He goes on to say in Isaiah 66:2, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. To that man, God will look. John 14:23, please. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Said by Jesus Christ in human flesh, as a promise, the man to whom he is speaking here is Judas, not Iscariot. We will come and we will make our abode with him. Let me ask you something. Do you have the assurance this morning that God has made his abode with you? That word abode is his dwelling. Does he dwell within you this morning? If he does not, I'll guarantee you don't understand Christmas. You see, those with whom the Lord stays, those within whom he dwells, cannot stay the same. You will not continue to be just like you were when he first came to stay with you. Because the longer he dwells within you, the more you change and become conformed to his image. You can't help but have that happen. And so if there has never been a change in your life, if you still live the same today as you always have lived, and you are not growing progressively to be more like Jesus Christ, something is not right. Something is wrong. And I dare say, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And may I say this with as much compassion as I can, you're on your way to hell. Charles Spurgeon once said, a man without the indwelling of God is like the bush in Mount Sinai when it was only a bush. But when the Father and the Son come to Moses, then it is with him as when the bush burned with fire and yet it was not consumed. And we all ought to be as burning bushes, unlike the day before Jesus Christ came and to take residence from in within us. John 14:23 says, We will come unto him. In other words, God will make himself at home within the one who loves him. We live together. He doesn't come just as a visitor. He does not just come as a guest. He comes as a resident. This is the time of year when you have guests in your home, more so than any other time. You invite them to stay, but eventually you want them to leave. Could be loved ones, could be a dearest loved one, but eventually you want them to leave, especially those who don't do anything to help. But have you ever had a visitor who desired to stay? When a sinner repents of his sin and trusts in Jesus Christ for his salvation from his sin, he is born again. Immediately, the Bible says he is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who bears witness that you're a child of God. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is now a permanent resident and will never leave. How can a person's life not change, that being true? But if a believer disobeys the word of God, I'm talking about a believer now within whom the Holy Spirit dwells. If a believer disobeys the word of God, he grieves the Spirit of God, and the communion or the fellowship with God is broken. Holy Spirit does not leave. But the Holy Spirit has been grieved. But as he obeys the word of God, God's presence is more evident because of that fellowship. This is where many believers doubt their salvation. I don't feel like I'm saved. What's going on in your life? Are you living in sin? Is there some unconfessed sin in your life? Because when that takes place, there seems to be a separation, and there is in fellowship. But the Holy Spirit still dwells within. But you've grieved him. Think about the experience that Abraham had in Genesis chapter 18. There he is, and he's sitting or standing in his tent door, and he sees these three people coming to visit him. And they come and they visit with him, Jesus and two angels, a Christophany. Jesus in the Old Testament comes to visit Abraham. You say, I thought Jesus was born in Bethlehem. No. That's how he came to this earth, was through Bethlehem. Yes, he was born, but he existed before his birth. And so there they are, and they're eating with Abraham. They're communing with Abraham, these three men, Jesus and two angels. And they felt right at home. But then God sends two angels, those two angels, to visit Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was just the two angels. Jesus did not go with them because he did not feel at home there. He sent two angels. Revelation 3:20 says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Isn't this amazing? That the gods don't dwell with human flesh because they are no gods, but there is a God in heaven who humbled himself and sent his only begotten Son. He loved the world so much, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life with him in heaven, to dwell, not where he comes down, but where we go and live with him forever. That verse, Revelation 3:20, that I just quoted, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me, is speaking about a church by the name of, in a city by the name of Laodicea. Believers in this church. The disobedient Laodicean Christian has a problem. There's no fellowship and he feels like he's all alone. The obedient Laodicean Christian has a promise. I will come in and I will fellowship with you. Are you still there in John 14? I want to point something out in verse 2 because we preach this verse. I preach this verse at funerals where Jesus says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But in my house, in my Father's house, are many mansions. I'm highlighting that word mansions because this is one of two times that word in the original language is used in the Bible. Mansions. It also occurs in the same chapter the other time. In the verse we read. Wait. Go to Luke 14:23. This is the verse we looked at earlier. It's found in that verse. Mansions is in that verse. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our mansion with him. We will make our dwelling a mansion here on earth in your heart. Jesus makes his home with those who have believed in him. Jesus makes his home with his disciples. Not only is there a promise, verse 2, of a place where God dwells in heaven, where he's making mansions for us, where we will one day go, but the promise is actually of being a place where he dwells on this earth. And Jesus Christ is still on this earth. I'm not being sacrilegious when I say this, but every believer, every true believer has him dwelling within your heart. Children, when you got saved, when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, that's exactly what he did. What condescension for the God in heaven to come down and dwell within a human, but prior to that, what condescension where he would humble himself and become, make himself like a servant, a man. And not only that, but then go to the cross to die a most humiliating death because he so loved us. Even the poorest man has God indwelling him if he's a Christian. And her body becomes a temple of the Lord. You see, Jesus in verse 2 is making a dwelling place for his followers. Verse 23, as well as in his followers. A dwelling place. But folks, would you listen to this one line I'm going to give you, to this one sentence right here. No one will live in God's dwelling place in heaven who was not God's dwelling place on earth. Here's the promise that we have given in the last book of the Bible. When the New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Then comes the verse that you're very familiar with. You ought to become familiar with that verse, Revelation 21:3. But here's what you know, Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And we dwell upon that. But folks, that's not the most important thing. The reason he can wipe away the tears and there should be no more death, nor crying, nor pain, the reason that can be is because of verse 3. He will dwell with us. The gods don't dwell in flesh. And I would say that's true. And to this world today, you would say the same thing, that gods don't dwell in human flesh. But I can say this, there is a God in heaven who does dwell in human flesh because he came in human flesh and died on a cross for my sin. And he died for your sin. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, no one looking around, please, I want to ask you a pointed question.